Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Would you like to come in and take a seat? And I'd like to welcome everyone here today on this lovely, sunny bank holiday weekend. I think I probably know most people here, but if there's anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Judith. I'm going to be leading us today, and Heather will be coming and speaking to us later about our topic. And today we're finishing our Heavenly Encounters series with that wonderful story from Daniel of the men cast into the fiery furnace. And so I thought it'd be a really good way to start the service in praise to God with that great song, Our God Saves. So please do stand if you're able, and we will enjoy singing that together to God.
There's a box of instruments here. Ooh, if children would like to come and hammer them away. So it's got a good beat, this song. Really good beat. So would you like to come and help yourself? If you want to come and... Yeah. Ah, good for you. I like your cape. Gosh. Wonderful. Brilliant. Oh, gosh. And you've got your granddaughter. Oh. Looking wonderful. Right. Okay, off we go. Would you like to stand, everybody?
We gather together to make the world.
Thank you. Would you like to take a seat? Well, it's actually 6 months since the start of the war in the Ukraine. I don't know about you, it feels longer. So much going on in that country. And I just wanted to highlight this website to you, which gives information about what some of the work that's been done to support and welcome Ukrainian people who have come to the UK. And there is a continued appeal for people to act as hosts. And if you want to know more, please do have a look on this website. I thought it'd be good just to mark that 6 months with a prayer for the people of Ukraine. God of welcome, Lord of new beginnings, Prince of peace, and Father to all who are in need, thank you that you gave us new life, set our feet on solid ground, showered us with your goodness and compassion, and embraced us as your family. May we reflect your all-encompassing love to others, including those from Ukraine who have lost so much. May we welcome them as you welcome us. May we welcome them as though we were welcoming you. Lord, in your mercy, bring peace and hope to Ukraine and inspire people in the UK to offer peace and hope to Ukrainians. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, if you are visiting us today or if you're new, I hope you do feel very, very welcome with us. And if you're going to be around a little bit more, there's lots of ways that you can get involved and connect with the people at the church. And over the summer, there have been lots of ways for us who've perhaps been here a bit longer to connect as well. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that are coming up over the next little while. Next weekend, a men's breakfast at Wetherspoons. Why do the men get the breakfast and the ladies not so much? We do, just not at Wetherspoons. There you go. I hope you enjoy that, men. So there's men's breakfast. And Dave particularly asked me to mention this one. We've got a Who's Coming to Lunch event. I think that's 3 weeks' time. There is a list. It's just out in the lobby if you want to sign up, either to be a guest or a host. And it's a lovely way to just meet together in sort of fairly smallish groups and get to know a few people a bit better. Next Friday, it's sort of one of the last of the summer connecting events there. As it says, the morning in Priory Park. Let's hope the weather stays nice. I think it's meant to be reasonable next week, isn't it? And finally, we do have a weekly list, if you're not already signed up for that. It's a really great way to find out everything that's going on in the church. So, as I've said, we are looking today at our talk about heavenly encounters, but I'm hoping we can encounter somebody else today. Is Liz here yet? Yes! Liz, would you like to come up? And we would love to welcome you. I'm going to hand over to Chris.
Hello, Liz. Welcome.
Hello.
It's been about 6 months, I think, about Easter time, when we first started dreaming that we might have between our two churches an operations manager to help to run the centre here and to oversee a lot of the things that we do as a church. And with a lot of prayer and a fair amount of advertising and things like that, we're here. It's amazing. We actually got here. So really welcome you, Liz. And I'm going to ask you a few questions because some of you you've met, some of these people you've met, but some you're brand new. Yeah. And you've hot-footed it down from All Saints.
I have.
And so thank you for coming to join us today. So can you just tell us a little bit about where you've come from?
Well, my story is not a particularly short one, so I won't go into all of it now, but I've done lots of different things. I have managed a residential youth centre for the Diocese of St Albans. I've run a sailing school down in Cornwall, and I've worked in various boarding schools up and down the country in sort of an operational and a pastoral role, so quite lots of different things. But do ask me about it if you see
Lovely.
Me around.
So you've got lots of skills that we're going to really tap into. And I understand there was some challenges with finding some accommodation.
Yeah, it's a real answer to prayer, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who has been praying for me for all of the details of getting me here. I've had a real challenge with accommodation to the point where I'd almost given up, and I'd sort of sent emails to people to say, I'm not sure I can come, and almost, you know, immediately I'd sent that email. I then get a phone call from an estate agent saying somebody that they had lined up had fallen through. Would I like it? I said yes and then asked where it was. And it turns out to be in Peachfield Road, so couldn't have been more perfect answer to prayer. So really thank you for everybody who's been praying for me. And I moved in yesterday, so I'm looking a bit bleary-eyed, I'm afraid.
Wow.
New job, new flat. So. Yeah,
lovely. And as you make your home here and amongst us, do you have any hopes? Do you have any sort of dreams about how things might be over the next few months and years?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how God uses this new role here. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know everybody. And it's really important that I build some really strong relationships here, both professionally, sort of when I'm at work here for you, but also me personally. I'm coming... I don't know Malvern at all. I came here when I was a small child on holiday, and that is really all I know about the area. And so I need to get to know people, and I need to build those networks privately as well as at work. And so I'd appreciate your prayers for that. But in terms of how this role is shaped, it really, you know, God has got this big drawing board now, and we just need to be listening to him to see how he shapes it and with me here. So, yeah, exciting times.
Great. Thank you so much, Liz. And we just want to welcome you properly, so I'm going to ask everybody to join in just a moment. But we are so grateful to you for accepting this challenge, and we really hope that you settle in well in Malvern. Yeah. So I'm just going to ask people to join in with me clapping, and then I'll pray for you. So. So Lord, just very briefly, would you bless Liz, we pray, over the coming months and years as she settles in, finds her feet and finds the role that to enable us to move forward in new and dynamic ways as a church. Would you bless us too, Lord, as we learn what it means to have an operations manager and how we can work together to further your kingdom in this place, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Liz. Thank you. Right, well, Liz just mentioned she's had a few challenges recently coming here, and we know that life's not always easy, do we? It wasn't easy for the people in the story that we're going to be hearing, and of course there's so much on the news at the moment that can cause real anxiety, and people are struggling. And so I thought it was just going to be a good time to just remember the God who we worship and what he can do for us. So I've got up just sort of a brief prayer, and I thought it'd be good if we could take it in turns to say some of the words. So I wonder if the people on this side would join with me in saying the words in white, the people on that side join in the words in yellow, and then after that we're going to go straight into another song, which is This I Believe, which again just really reaffirms who this God is, who is with us, whatever situations we're going through. So if you'd like to join with me in the words in white. Honour the Lord with me. Celebrate his great name. Honour the Lord with me. Celebrate his great name. I asked the Lord for help, and he saved me from all my fears. Honour the Lord with me. I prayed, and he saved me from all my troubles. Honour the Lord with me. Celebrate his great name.
To leave, and Helen's going to be leading them in some events. So if any children sort of up to the age of about 11 would like to go out, that would be great. There is a creche as well if anyone wants to make use of it, but you're also very welcome to join with Helen. So we do pray for these young people that they will have fun and they will learn more about their Heavenly Father who loves them so much.
Going to sing a couple of songs now, songs that are really focusing on the strength that the Lord gives us when we're going through hard times. And you know, people here might be going through hard times, but through the world there are so many people that are struggling. And even in our own country, as things move into the autumn and winter, we just really pray for people that are going to struggle financially. For ourselves, we just reach out to you, Lord. In the second song, it's called It Is Well, and it's written by Horatio Stafford, I think. Spafford. Now, this is a guy who lost his whole family, apart from his wife. He lost his son to scarlet fever, and his daughters were drowned, all of them. Went on to have three more children. But he really suffered. And he wrote this hymn, It Is Well, from a deep place of struggle and faith. So it really has deep meaning as we sing it. Anyway, first of all, oceans.
You live the mystery.
Thank you, Lord, that you came to us and we can say that you are ours and we are yours. Lord, increase our trust. May we walk on the waters, trusting in you.
Let's go.
would you like to take a seat, please? And we're going to have our Bible readings now, and then Heather will be coming to speak to us. But isn't it just wonderful to be reminded that Jesus promised peace, and that is what we can know in our soul. Thank you.
The first reading is from Daniel chapter 3. You probably can't follow it too well in the church Bibles because it's sort of extracts. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then a herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then, what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god." And then we've got a reading from Matthew, chapter 10. Verses 18 to 20 and verse 22. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Have you ever had a bonfire or a campfire? You know how you smell of the smoke? It's very hard to get rid of it, isn't it, from your hair and your clothes? It just clings. Maybe a nice smell, maybe not. But isn't it incredible? I love that detail in the reading that we heard from Daniel, that when those men came out of the furnace, you couldn't even smell the smoke on them. Last week we heard how God opened the eyes of Elisha's young servant so that he could see angelic hosts encircling them and protecting them from the threatened attack of the Arameans. Today we learn that God's people may go through fiery trials, but God will be there with them. We also see that speaking truth to power can be dangerous, but can have surprising results. The book of Daniel is a book of two parts. The early chapters tell several famous and gripping stories. Daniel in the den of lions, and the hand that wrote on the wall during Belshazzar's sacrilegious feast, as well as today's story of the burning fiery furnace. The second half of the book is about the heavenly visions and prophetic messages that Daniel received. The setting is Babylon in the 6th century BC, during the time when the Jews were in exile there. And the book begins with King Nebuchadnezzar recruiting some of the cream of the Jewish exiles to be groomed for leadership roles. They were to be young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from his table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. And among these were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They made a stand against eating the royal food and wine, insisting on a diet of vegetables and water instead, on which they thrived. At the end of their 3 years of training, the king talked with them, and he found none equal to them in wisdom and understanding, and so they entered the king's service. It's not surprising, is it, that the Babylonian officials were jealous of their promotion. And so they seized on the ways in which their Jewish faith set them apart in their behaviour to make accusations against them and try to bring them down. It happened to Daniel in the story when he was thrown to the lions. And in today's story, the accusers say, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs, whom you, king, have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. You promoted them, and they're disregarding you. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up." Nebuchadnezzar is furious. "If you don't worship my golden image, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Note that the king is throwing down the gauntlet to God as well as to the three men. And their reply is remarkable. "If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So I've got a question for you. Does God deliver them from the blazing furnace? No. It is the king who tells them to come out. But the reason is because he has seen a fourth figure walking in the flames with the three men. One who looks like a son of the gods. And many believe that this, like the story of Abraham's visitors, is what's called a theophany, an example of Jesus appearing on earth for specific reasons in Old Testament times. God didn't put the fire out. He didn't lift them out of the fire. He came and joined them there. As I've already mentioned, the details about how they came out are amazing. Their bodies weren't harmed, their hair wasn't singed, their clothes weren't scorched, and they didn't even smell of smoke. And what was the result? The king acknowledged the power of the God on whose protection they had staked their lives. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Now, a word of warning, if you read on in the story, you'll find that he did go rather over the top in his threats to anybody else who didn't in future acknowledge the God of the Jews. But nevertheless, he did recognize the power of God at work there. What can we learn from this story? Think again of that fourth figure the king saw in the furnace. And listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 43. The Lord says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Now, I'm sure there are many here who have testimonies themselves, or we know others in our church family who have testified to how God has been there with them in the darkest and most desperate situations, when they felt as if they were drowning in grief or going through fiery trials. Our dear friends Sue and Kevin Powell, who suffered such a dreadful multiple bereavement, have testified to how they felt carried when they didn't know how to bear the pain. I'd love to invite you, as Tristan did last week, to come and share some testimonies. But because there's another part to what I want us to think about this morning, I just suggest you share them with one another after the service. This story tells us that God doesn't rescue us from pain and suffering. But when they come, he is there with us, and our life is safe with him whatever happens. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, physically and mentally, and to be tempted to give up, and to choose the easy way out. Remember the temptations in the wilderness. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, let this cup pass." In the book of Hebrews, it says he shared in our humanity so that he could rescue us, not from going through trouble, but from the fear of death. Remember Psalm 23. "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." I had a lovely morning last week with a lady called June, who briefly worshipped in our Thursday congregation until cancer overtook her in many parts of her body. And she is such a living witness to faith and trust and calm and confidence. When the cancer first came on, she and her son were praying that God would heal her. But I've noticed that her prayers and her thinking have moved on now. I think she recognises that this is going to be a terminal cancer. But the thing that she is now praying above all is that those members of her family who don't yet know the Lord and who are reluctant to discuss with her approaching death because they can't bear the thought of it, her prayer is that they will come to know the Lord so that for them too, as for her, the fear of death is removed by the knowledge of our Saviour's death and how he's brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So if you're going through fiery trials at the moment, please be encouraged by this story. And if you'd like prayer ministry at the end of the service, then do please do that or pray for one another. But what we can scarcely imagine is what it's like to be a believer in a country where Christians are singled out and threatened with death, just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were. Do you know that 5,898 Christians were murdered for their faith last year? 5,898. And we're going to watch a video now by Open Doors, the organisation which supports persecuted Christians.
There are countries where Christians live in fear, where churches are bombed and houses burned, where following Jesus means sacrificing jobs, security, family. There are countries where you must keep your faith secret, or it might get you killed. These are the countries of the Open Doors World Watch List. And here are the 10 countries where following Jesus costs the most. Number 10, India. Many extremists claim that to be Indian is to be Hindu. They want an India without religious minorities, and they are using violence to achieve it. Number 9, Iran. Iranian Christians must meet secretly. Being discovered could mean long sentences in appalling prisons. Number 8, Pakistan. Christians in Pakistan are considered second-class citizens. Innocent believers are falsely accused of blasphemy. Thousands of women are victims of kidnap and forced conversion. Number 7, Nigeria. Nigeria is the country where Christians face the most outright violence. Many Christians have been killed or driven from their homes. Number 6, Eritrea. More than 1,000 Christians are imprisoned for their faith in Eritrea. Some pastors have been locked up for over a decade without charge. Number 5, Yemen. Yemeni culture is tribal. Those who leave the tribal faith could be banished or even killed. Number 4, Libya. In this lawless land, Libyan Christians have to keep their faith secret or risk punishment, arrest, or death. Number 3, Somalia. Islamist extremists consider Somali Christians high-value targets. So the tiny population of only a few hundred secret believers keep out of sight. Number 2, North Korea. There are around 400,000 Christians in North Korea. All of them must hide their faith. Discovery means exile, execution, or being worked to death in horrific labor camps. Number 1, Afghanistan. The Taliban takeover means that Afghanistan is the new number one, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Many Christians have become refugees. Those who remain must keep their faith utterly secret. There are countries where Christians live in fear, but fear can lead to courage, and courage leads to hope. at least 360 million Christians around the world experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. But they have not given up. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with them. Where Christians are persecuted, our global underground networks supply smuggled Bibles and Christian books, spiritual care, emergency food and aid, training and legal advice. Where Christians are free, we work with local churches to raise our voices in prayer, to speak truth to those in power, to strengthen our persecuted family around the world. Because there are countries where Christians have to stay silent, and there are countries where Christians can make a noise. But we are all connected. We are all family, and together we can help one another to follow Jesus, no matter the cost.
If you'd like to receive information from Open Doors and pray for persecuted Christians, I can give you the details of their website afterwards. It's very sobering, isn't it? Makes us feel how blessed we are and how feeble and pathetic we so often are. I speak for myself in our witness. But there's no knowing when we might find ourselves up against it for what we believe. Many Christians in caring professions in our country have faced reprisals for wearing a cross or offering to pray with someone. Some have been taken to court for making a stand on what they believe is and isn't right. There's much legislation proposed which will make it harder for us to share what we believe. Christian school governors may find themselves having to make a stand about policy and practice, which will put them at risk. At the very least, any of us may find ourselves challenged in a hostile way or mocked for our faith. In our second reading, Jesus told his disciples they might well find themselves arrested, but he made an extraordinary promise, which we too can claim when we find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And of course, the preliminary to that is being open and listening and ready to sense those nudges from the Holy Spirit that this is a moment when I can speak. And if we get that nudge, then we can have this confidence that it won't be you speaking, as Jesus said, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And that brings us back to the breathtakingly brave words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Lord, we pray that you'll give us courage to continue to stand as your followers, as your disciples, however hostile the environment we may find ourselves in. And we trust that you will give us the courage and the words. And I have one other prayer as we come to the end of this series of heavenly encounters. So we pray together, Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves that we may keep in mind the things we've learnt in this series on heavenly encounters. May we be more aware of your presence in our everyday living and working and speaking. And may we learn to see what's happening around us and to us through the lens of spiritual awareness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Heather. We're going to have our time of prayer now. So Claire's going to come and lead us in our intercessions. Thank you, Claire.
Heather's given us a lot to think about. So my invitation to you is just to take a moment and to think of what Heather's just said to us about those countries around the world where you may have some connection, and also people in different contexts at work here at home. And just think for a moment about the people and places that you would like to pray for in our prayers this morning. So I'll just give you a moment. And there'll be time during the prayers for you to bring your prayers about those specific situations before God. So our response in the prayers this morning is, when I say our God saves, I invite you to respond, there is hope in your name. Our God saves, there is hope in your name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the ways in which you have saved us and given hope this week. And we just take a moment to think about those and to give you a huge thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are God save. There is hope in your name. Lord, we pray for people around the world. We pray for people who are feeling on the edge of hope. We pray for those who are actively persecuted for what they believe, especially the Christians of Afghanistan. And Lord, this morning with more news of the flood in Pakistan, we pray for the people of Pakistan and those who are living out their faith in the way they serve others through the aftermath of the flood. Lord, we pray for courage for people with hope, and we pray for those who are only just hanging on. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Lord, nationally, we pray for people who need to tell truth to power. And just in a moment of silence, we remember the people that we think of when we think about telling the truth to power in this country. We also pray, Lord, for those who give wisdom and insight to Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss as they stand for the leadership of the Conservative Party. We pray for those advocating for fuel poverty at a national level. We pray for Martin Lewis, and we pray for community champions who are doing small things in small ways or big things in big ways in their own communities. And Lord, we pray for people living in fear who already are living on the edge and know there is worse to come. We pray, Lord, for courage for people with hope, and we pray for those who are only just hanging on. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Then we think of people locally here in Malvern. In a moment of silence, think of those who are on your heart and on your mind. Lord, we pray too for people, all of us living to be a small voice in our own communities, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools. We pray for June and her family. And Lord, we pray for the Ukrainian families who've come to Worcestershire and those still looking for refuge. Lord, we pray for courage for people who have hope, and we pray for those who are only just hanging on. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves and those around us in this building this morning and who are watching online. Lord, we pray for ourselves in our brokenness. We pray as we go through what we perceive to be fiery trials. And Lord, we ask you for courage to stand up for what we believe, wherever we find ourselves and however broken we feel. Lord, we pray for courage for people with hope, and hope for those who are only just hanging on. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. And we bring our prayers to a close this morning as we say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're coming to the end of our service now, and we're going to sing a final song, which is In Christ Alone. So I invite the band back, and perhaps you would like to stand, if you're able, to sing this together.
To repeat Heather's offer to prayer ministry, if anybody wants to talk or pray about anything that is troubling or burdening them at the moment, please do think about doing that. Think also, if you're not involved in one of our life groups, it's a great way to connect with people and get support as well. So I would just mention those. But now there is an opportunity for coffee and to socialise together. So I hope some of you will stay for that. I'm just going to offer a final prayer now as we finish. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, everyone, and blessings on the week ahead.
Lord of hosts, you win us. Women's in the rage, I know.